You're going to see here in Numbers chapter 7, I would say this is one of the most unique chapters in the Bible. You'll see why I say that in just a minute. I doubt very seriously if anybody here has read all the way through this chapter. If you have, I congratulate you. I suspect when you started reading it, you thought to yourself, I think I'll step on a little further ahead because there's a lot of repetition in this chapter. There are 12 lists of 12 things, and they are identical except for the name of the people that gave them. And that consists, most of the chapter consists of that. Let's just talk about, in general, before we look at this passage, let's just talk about offerings just a minute. Think about New Testament times. Of course, things are different than they are in the Old Testament. And what are some of the things we give God? Let's treat this a little more Sunday school-like, and I'll let you in participate with me. What are some of the things that we offer to God? Okay, the obvious one that we might think of first is finances, is a giving of our material wealth, in particular the monetary, the money that we have, that when we get paid or when we have an increase, 10% of that belongs to the Lord. So technically, that's not really an offering. That's a tithe, and he used the right word. Linda? Okay, and in what forms? Okay. Interesting word that you chose, praise. We can praise the Lord by verbalizing that. We can also praise the Lord by how we live. We can also praise the Lord in song, okay? And those are parts of worship, but they're not the entire part. Mark, say it again. Okay, things we offer God, us, our heart. Why the heart? Why is that important? Because the Bible says out of the heart are the issues, or proceed the issues of life. In the Bible and in the biblical cultures, it was understood that the heart was the seat of the emotions. The heart is the center of you. It's kind of who you are. So it's giving God your desires, giving God who you are, giving God yourself. Okay, we might break that down a little more, but I saw another hand over here. Yes, ma'am. Time. There you go. Certainly, our time. How much of our time belongs to God?
All of it.
Amen? And we belong to God. We are not our own. We're bought with a price. Now, if you had a job and you were being compensated for your time and they said, we're going to pay you to work 40 hours a week and so you need to be here at 8 o'clock and we're going to let you clock out at 12 and go eat lunch and come back and work from 1 to 5, how much of that 40 hours... Now, nowadays, they give you a break, and that's fine. My dad used to be a welder at the potash mines, and I can still remember he had an old black lunchbox. You ever seen those old metal black lunchboxes? And it was kind of beat up, and every day, I remember seeing that lunchbox sitting on the counter in our little kitchen, and he'd have something in there for lunch, and he'd have a snack in there, and maybe an apple or a banana or something like that. And he'd take that thing to work every day, and they'd have a break, and he'd eat that. But when he went to work, when he got there, they expect him to work all day long. And at the end of the day, he got off. God expects us to serve him, amen? But he owns us. It's not just employment. So if you went to work and you sat around all day, what would they do?
Fire
you? If they might at first give you a chance, they might bring you in and counsel you and write you up. And then if you kept on doing nothing, they'd fire you. What does God do with Christians that don't serve him? He doesn't fire them. What does God do with Christians that keep their life for themselves? You know, the worst thing that God could do with you is nothing. You say, well, maybe God would punish me. That'd be good because that might get our attention and get us right. When you see somebody that walks away from God and they just seem to go on through life, is there any accountability for that? In eternity, there is. Amen? So when you talk about offerings, it's not my job as the pastor to make you serve God. That's not my job. It is my job to show you the wonders of serving God and to encourage you to serve God. But it's your decision. Amen. And it's everybody's decision. And I can tell you what God expects, and the Lord wants me to do that. Primarily what God wants me to do is preach the Bible and show you what the Bible has to say. But every one of us has a choice. And a group of people this size, and now we're missing some people tonight, and sadly we typically are missing some folks, but a group of people this size praying and serving God changed the world. Amen. Certainly ought to be able to change the west side of Phoenix, amen? And certainly ought to be able to change our neighbors and our workplaces and those kind of things. This offering is tonight, the offerings of the princes. These are not just monetary gifts, but they're gifts that cost money. But the fascinating thing about this chapter, and the reason I say it's one of the most unique chapters in the Bible, is because if you look at this chapter, first of all, in verses 1 through 9, there were some offerings given, and they're very simple and very practical. They're wagons and they're oxen. And it says in verse 3, they brought their offering before the Lord, 6 covered wagons and 12 oxen. Each 2 princes brought one wagon, and each prince brought an ox. And they brought them to the tabernacle. And then in verses 4 through 9, God instructs Moses how to distribute this. And the reason they brought these was to serve the tabernacle because, again, please don't get tired of hearing me say this, but up until the people, it won't be long, we've got a couple more chapters and then we get to the exciting parts of Numbers, but up until now and still now, what we're seeing is God getting them ready to move. God getting them ready to move, organizing them, establishing their assignments, counting them and so forth, getting them ready to move. And folks, God wants us as a church to move. Amen? He's got something for us to do. We don't just come to church. I enjoy that word praise once again. We don't just come to church to listen to music and to have a motivational speech and to go live our life for ourselves. That's not right. God wants our church to be on the move, to be doing something. We're about to have vacation Bible school. We have missionaries. We have soul winning. We need to be going. We need to not be sitting. We need to be going. And you ought to ask yourself, I thought about somewhere along the way, what would happen if I handed everybody here a white index card and a little golf pencil, and I said, write down everything you do for God in Vision Baptist Church. What would you write down? Oh, I'm sure we'd all write down that we pray. I hope we'd write down that we attend church. I hope we'd write down that we tithe. But what about things beyond that? Are you committed to anything? We have some people, for example, that drive the bus. We have some people that ride the bus. We have some people that visit the bus route. 3 different people in those 3 roles. We have some people that work in Sunday school. We have some people that clean the church. We have some people that are supposed to put the church signs out. We have some people that work in the sound booth, and I'm not going to list it all. But are you serving God? And let me ask you this. If you took your little index card with your list on it and stepped into eternity, hand that to Jesus and say, here's what I did for you, how would you feel? How would you feel? Amen. I don't do a whole lot, Pastor, but I pray. Praise the Lord for praying, that you are striving together with a missionary when you pray. That's a big thing. But could you have some more things on that card? Here's what you see in Numbers chapter 7. You start out with the practical offering, the things that were needed to get the job done. They're just simple wagons and oxen. Wagons to haul the stuff, oxen to pull it. And each of the tribes, each of the princes of those 12 tribes of Israel, the Levites are not part of this list. We have Manasseh and Benjamin, the 2 tribes of Joseph, and now you got 12 tribes plus Levi, but those 12 tribes, they each brought that utility offering. Then, and if you want to do the work sometime, I encourage you to do it. It's not that hard. If you start in verse 12 and you go all the way through verse 83, there are 12 lists of 12 things. Take my word for it. The lists are identical. The language is not always identical. Every now and then, a phrase will change, one word here, one word there. But the list is identical. Here's the list. A silver charger weighed about 3.25 pounds, and each of these 12 tribes brought one of those. A silver bowl. By the way, a charger, you know what a charger is? That's that big plate that you put underneath the smaller plate. We found some at the dollar store one time. They're $1 a piece. And we put them when we eat. We like to put those things. If you come into our house, sometimes we put chargers underneath the plates. And that's so when you spill, you don't mess up my tablecloth. Amen? No, that's just the decoration. Silver charger, silver bowls. They weighed about 1.75 pounds. There were 12 of them. Flour and oil, which they would mix together for what they call a meat offering. We would think of that as unleavened bread. A golden spoon, which weighed about 1/4 pound. It was a big golden spoon, and that was full of incense. And then 20 animals, and here's what the list was. A bullock, which is another word for oxen, that was for a burnt offering. A ram, one kid goat, 2 more oxen, 5 more rams, 5 he-goats, and 5 lambs. And so those 20 animals were brought. And that exact list occurs 12 times in this passage. The only difference being each time it is ascribed to a different tribe. In verse 12, Judah. Verse 18, Issachar. Verse 24, Zebulun. Verse 30, Reuben. Verse 36, Simeon. Verse 42, Gad. Verse 48, Ephraim. Verse 54, Manasseh. Verse 60, Benjamin. Verse 66, Dan. Verse 72, Asher. In verse 78, Naphtali. Other than that, except for just a little bit of a variation in language, the offerings are identical. Why would God list those 12 offerings? Why would they be identical? Why not just say, here's the names of the 12 tribes and here's a list of what they brought? Why list name, offering, name, offering, name, offering? Well, look at that tonight and see what we can see. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word. I'm not going to read an awful lot. I'm going to start in verse 1. I'm going to skip over the great majority of the chapter. I've already given you some of the details, and then we'll just finish up in the last few verses. The Bible says in Numbers chapter 7 and verse 1, it came to pass on the day that Moses had fully set up the tabernacle and had anointed it and sanctified it, and all the instruments thereof, both the altar and all the vessels thereof, and had anointed them and sanctified them, that the princes of Israel, heads of the house of their fathers, who were the princes of the tribes, and were over them that were numbered, offered. And they brought their offering before the Lord, 6 covered wagons and 12 oxen, a wagon for 2 of the princes, and for each one an ox. And they brought them before the tabernacle. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take it of them, that they may do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. And thou shalt give them unto the Levites, to every man according to his service. And Moses took the wagons and the oxen and gave them unto the Levites. 2 wagons and 4 oxen. Oxen he gave unto the sons of Gershon according to their service. 4 wagons and 8 oxen he gave unto the sons of Merari according to their service, under the hand of Ithamar, the son of Aaron the priest. But under the sons of Kohath he gave none, because the service of the sanctuary belongeth unto them, and it was that they should bear upon their shoulders. And the princes offered, verse 10, offered for dedicating of the altar in the day that it was anointed. Even the princes offered their offering before the altar. And the Lord said unto Moses, they shall offer their offering, each prince on his day, for the dedicating of the altar. And then we begin in verse 12, and we have those 12 days, those 12 tribes, and the list I just read you a while ago. We come down to the end of the chapter. Go to verse 84, if you would. Verse 84, this was the dedication of the altar in the day when it was anointed by the princes of Israel. And then he lists again the total offering through verse 88. And then there's one more verse. When Moses was gone into the tabernacle of the congregation to speak with him, Then he heard the voice of one speaking unto him from off the mercy seat that was upon the ark of testimony from between the two cherubims, and he spake unto him. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you tonight that we have a Holy Spirit living in us that guides us and that corrects us and that encourages us and that directs us and gives us understanding. And tonight I pray the Holy Spirit would give us understanding. I pray that you would allow me to say nothing that would be incorrect or out of order, but Lord, that you would just allow me to speak. Thus saith the Lord, using what you've given us here in Numbers chapter 7 as a guideline. Some things we do know and some things we don't. I pray that you would give us discernment. But Lord, first of all, help us to understand that our offerings that we give to you are a form of worship, that our money, our time, our praise, our prayers, our heart, the things that we give to you, you gave them to us. Anything that we have, the Bible says every good gift cometh from above. Anything that we have comes from you. Lord, you also taught us through the Apostle Paul that in whatsoever state we are in, therewith we should be content. And that whether we are abased or whether we abound, that we should be satisfied. You promised us that you'd never leave us or forsake us, and so you said that we should be content with such things as we have. And Lord, so often we see Christians around us that don't seem to be offering. And Lord, I pray that you'd forgive us for that. Forgive us for looking at others. Help us to look at you. Help us to do what we do because of you, not because of others. And I do pray, Lord, if it be your will, you know our heart's desire is that you would take this church and use it to glorify you and use it to do great things in this area and most of all for all eternity. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, I have some questions that come to my mind when I read this chapter, and I'll kind of bring them to your attention and see if we can't find some answers. And I guess the first question would be, why did they all offer what they offered? We never have seen any instruction before this or after this that told them what to offer. But I got to believe God was in it because they all brought exactly the same thing. So just simple conclusion would be there had to have been some instruction from the Lord. Here's what should be offered. It's a very detailed list, and I've already read it to you, that it would be statistically impossible for this to be chance. There's no possibility of that. It was coordinated. Somebody said, this is what you are to offer to God, and that's what they offered. Now, do you and I have such instructions? Amen?
Amen.
The Bible tells us what we ought to offer the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
And the Bible, whether you're young or old, there's no one here tonight too young to understand what the Bible says we should do. And I just remind you again, the Bible says we're not our own, we're bought with a price. One of the greatest mistakes I think Christians make is that they make themselves the authority instead of letting God be the authority.
Yeah.
I'll do what I want to do, somebody said. Folks, that's the same reason people don't get saved.
That's right. Amen.
Because they love their sin and they don't want to give their sin up, and so they won't turn from their sin and ask Jesus Christ to save them. But here, this list is identical for each of these. Clearly, God gave them the instructions. And so one thing you can know is this. They all brought the same thing. And what that tells me is they all obeyed. What a great day. What would it be like if every member of a church obeyed God? Wow. Some great things would happen. Amen?
Amen.
Well, just for one day. I think if one day this week, every member obeyed God 100% from beginning of day to end of day. I think we'd see a glow in the sky or something. I don't know. Something exciting would happen. Amen? Our disobedience gets us in a lot of trouble. Our disobedience gets in the way of God blessing us. It gets in the way of God hearing our prayers. I was reading this morning in Psalm 4 that when we don't do the things that please God, and I'm paraphrasing horribly, you can read the psalm yourself, but it costs us the blessings he has to offer to us. You say, why isn't God blessing my life? My question might be, are you obeying God? Are you faithful? Are you praying? Are you giving God what belongs to him? Every single one of these tribes brought the very same thing. They all obeyed him. It's very clear at the end of the chapter, I think, that he's pleased because he's talking to Moses from the mercy seat there in the tabernacle. They all brought the same thing. And undoubtedly, I think, it's because God told them what to bring. Now, the next question I have, and you can help me with this one maybe, is why did the Lord list all these offerings? Again, he could have said, here's the 12 tribes, here's the list of what they all brought. 20 verses, we're done. 15 maybe. 89 verses in this chapter. As is so often the case in Numbers, God takes time to individually deal with each of the tribes. And I tell you, the only way you're going to find out that they all obeyed is to set you up a little sheet, put the tribe's name at the top, list the offerings down the side, and then look across and see if they're all there. They're all there. Amen? They're all there. Wasn't that hard to do? You're a little cut and paste with the computer. They all obeyed. Aren't you? I got to believe that the reason God listed this is because he wants us, amongst other things, to understand individual obedience matters.
Amen.
Amen? You say, well, Pastor, what if 11 of them obeyed and one didn't? It would be here. What if 10 of them obeyed and two didn't? It would be here. What if all of them brought exactly the same thing, except somewhere in the middle there was something missing? It would be here. But it's not. They all obeyed. It's a good place for Israel to start. Didn't end that way, did it? They all gave the very same thing. God recognizes individual obedience. You say, Pastor, in a big church, surely there are some people that don't obey God. I understand that, but why are you worried about everybody else?
That's right. Come on, Pastor. Amen.
If it was me and I was from the tribe of Reuben and I was reading this passage and I'm reading about Ephraim and I'm reading about Manasseh and I'm reading about Judah and I'm reading about Issachar, I'd be thinking the whole time, where's Reuben? Where's Reuben? What about Reuben? Amen? You know, I'm afraid we make the mistake sometime of saying to ourselves, well, so-and-so doesn't do anything, why should I? Yeah. That's not a good way to go through life. Try this sometime at work. You got a bunch of fellows working in a manufacturing plant, and the guy on the end of the line is lazy, and so you'll be lazy too. That's not the right way to do it. No. Don't let him be a bad example to you. You be a good example to him. Amen?
Amen.
In every church, there are people that obey God faithfully, and there are people that don't. And we understand that. It wasn't that way here. These folks are on the right track. And every single one of them obeyed exactly as they should. And God took note of individual obedience. So I got to watch out for this, and you do too. When we look around and we see, well, nobody else is going soul winning, why should I? Because God said to.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Wouldn't it be great if in heaven we had the list for Vision Baptist Church and it had all the members' names across the top and it said, here's what they offered. And it was all right. Wouldn't that be great?
Amen.
Now, I can't change this column or this column or this column or this column or this column, but I can change mine. Amen?
Amen.
And if all of us said, I want to make sure I give God what he asked for, what he deserves, and I want to do that for him. And if we all did that, we'd be complete, wouldn't we? I think that's the right way to look at it. You say, Pastor, it'll never happen. Well, if it doesn't ever happen, make sure it's not because of you. Amen? Make sure it's not because of you. Maybe somebody else isn't going to give God what he asked for, what he deserves, but I am. Amen? I'm going to be faithful to church. I'm going to go on visitation. I'm going to be on present for prayer meetings on Wednesday night. I'm going to step up, and I'm going to do the work that God asked me to do. Well, other people aren't doing that, Pastor. I don't know about those columns. I just know about my column. And just like they can't come fill in my column, I can't go fill in theirs. I can just do what I can do. That's kind of the way judgment is, isn't it? We shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone will give an answer for the things done in this body. And when I stand there before the Lord Jesus Christ, he is not going to say to me, who can I pick on? Oh, can I pick on you, Jeremy? He's not going to say to me, Pastor Schaefer, you're in trouble because Jeremy Bronow didn't preach often enough. No, he's not judging Jeremy, he's judging me. Amen? He's not going to say to me, Pastor Schaefer, you're in trouble because Greg Dahlman didn't go soul winning enough. Or you're in trouble because so-and-so wasn't faithful to church. No, he's going to judge me, amen?
Amen.
And he's going to judge you. Amen? Does that day occur to you? I had a good friend in the ministry, one of my best friends. He's with the Lord now. I'm glad for him. He lived a hard life. He worked hard. And he was a good preacher, and he went around the country as an evangelist, and I saw physically how much difficulty he had doing what he did. And he told me one time he was at a camp that we were at, and we were sitting in a little cabin. It was such a picturesque place. It was in Pennsylvania. They have big trees in Pennsylvania. If you're from Arizona, you don't know what a big tree is. And it's moist there. It rains. That's that time when water falls from the sky, you know. And it was kind of chilly. It was in the afternoon in May or June, I guess it was. And we're in this cabin, and it's all screened in. So the wind's blowing through. And he says to me, he says, you know, he says, more and more I think about Judgment Day. And I asked myself, am I ready? And I thought, good night. You go week by week by week to church after church after church, and you preach the gospel every week. You've seen who knows how many people saved. Got to be in the tens of thousands probably. And you keep on serving God faithfully, and you got such a good spirit. This fellow had a good spirit. And he says, I wonder if my list is complete or not. And I thought to myself, wow, that's convicting, because I wonder if my list is complete or not. A couple of years later, in his 60s, he stepped into eternity. I think God was getting him ready. We're going to all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And we've all got a list. In this chapter, God saw fit to list the list for each one. Somewhere in heaven, there's a record book. I am so glad God doesn't use computers. There are no viruses in heaven, amen? There's no power shortages. We talked about that before. God just puts her in a good old book. And there's books about our life, lists. Are you ready? Am I ready? Is our church ready? Amen?
Amen.
It matters. No, I think the reason he listed them each individually is just to remind us he cares about what we do individually. And the Bible would be a whole lot longer if he did this a whole lot more often. But in this case, he took the time to list each tribe individually. There's something else that's interesting here as well. Think about this. These tribes were huge. We've seen the numbers already. In some cases, over 100,000 people, in most cases over 100,000 people. The group as a whole was enormous. And that's just the warriors he listed in a survey earlier. It's not a lot to ask of one tribe to bring a silver charger of 3 pounds, a silver bowl of 1.5 pounds, some flour, a 1/4 pound gold spoon, and 20 animals. When you have tens of thousands of people, that's a very small offering for each individual. But when you combine what they all did, it's rather memorable, isn't it? Any one of us can only do so much. But when you put all of our offering together, it really stands out. Amen. I was putting together my resume to come out here and candidate, and I got to thinking one day, I thought, I wonder how much money our church has given to missions in Maryland. And it shocked me. Over the course of about 14 years, a little under $2 million. Wow, Amen. That's a lot of money. Amen. You know what that $2 million was? A little lady that gave $10 here and $20 there, and maybe a couple of families that had some more money, and they gave $100 here and $50 there, and everybody was faithful, and it all adds up, doesn't it? Any one individual, I'm concerned about my list, but as a whole, what I'm concerned about is if we're all involved, it makes things possible. It makes big things possible. And that's what you see here in this chapter. Why was the list so detailed? Again, I don't see any reference point. You can go back and you can see, what do they do with a kid goat? What do they do with a he goat? What do they do with a lamb that's 1 year old? We see some directions to these individual things, but why was this list so detailed and so important? And that's because when God says that's what he wants, that's what he wants. Amen?
Amen.
You say, Pastor, in my life, I don't know what God wants. Well, I think if you read the Bible, you'll find out he wants some detailed things. Amen?
Right.
And I can't preach the Bible right now, the whole thing that is. But I can tell you this, God doesn't expect us to just obey in general. He's got specific details for us. So you come to the end of the chapter, and let's just sum it all up and we'll be done. Look at verse 89. Almost all of this chapter is lists, identical lists, and even the first part of the chapter is a list. And then you come to this very last verse. Moses was gone into the tabernacle of the congregation, and look at this, to speak with him. Now, the Bible never tells us who him is, but don't we know? Amen. Who else is in there? Now, oh, by the way, you can't, this is an interesting picture here. Once the tabernacle was dedicated and anointed, and there's a difference, and I really can't get into that, it's kind of complicated, but once it was dedicated, the only person that could go in there was the high priest once a year, and not without blood. But getting ready for that, Moses went in. That was a unique experience for him because he wasn't the high priest. But Moses went in, and you know the picture. They got the box, this golden ark, about 3 feet long, about 1.5 wide, about 1.5 tall, covered in gold. The contents inside included a copy of the law, the rod that budded, the manna. And then over the top, there's the mercy seat with the two angels, the statues of the angels over the top of that. And in that place was the presence of God. And Moses, having all the offerings received, goes in and has fellowship with God. And it says in verse 89, to speak with him. Then he heard, and oh, let's just stop and think about that for a minute. We'll just speculate. I wonder what he wanted to talk about. Aren't you looking forward to spending time with the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven?
Amen.
I found out something when it comes to talking to the Lord. I do a lot better when I listen than when I talk.
Amen.
What's that old saying? We have 2 ears and 1 mouth. I listen twice as much as we speak at least. But when it comes to the Lord, the best thing to do is just say, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth, and then listen. Moses goes in, and just to be in the presence of the Lord would be great joy. He heard the voice of one speaking unto him from off the mercy seat that was upon the ark of testimony from between the two cherubims, and he spake unto him. Just good old fellowship. What does God want from Vision Baptist Church. And I'm not thinking about details, just in general. What does God want from Vision Baptist Church? He wants fellowship with us. Amen. What came first, the obedience or the fellowship? The obedience. The offering. They did what God asked them to do. And now here's this pause where Moses speaks to God. And you know what's poignant about that is when you have not been obeying God, it's not so easy to talk to Him, is it? When you haven't been doing what God wants you to do and you know it, it doesn't matter if anybody else knows. You know, it's pretty easy to fool a lot of people. If you want to look spiritual, you want to claim to be, you can claim to be anything. Oh, I know great things about medicine, or I know great things about cars, or I know great things about computers or whatever. And if you talk a good enough story, a lot of folks will believe you. But when you talk to God, He knows the truth, doesn't He?
Amen.
I don't have to impress people. In fact, if I'm out to impress people, likely as not, I'm not going to impress God very much because He wants me to do things whether or not it impresses people. But after I've done what God asked me to do, I can just have good old fellowship with Him. And I don't even want to use that phrase. It's better than just good old anything. It's wonderful fellowship.
Amen.
And getting them ready to move, it was very important before they go to battle that they had a tabernacle that was properly equipped and properly dedicated. And what was the tabernacle anyway? That's what verse 89 tells us. That's the presence of the Lord. What's all this about? It's about the presence of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
And the Bible says this, if He be for us, who can be against us?
That's right. Amen.
So sad that just a few chapters later, we're going to eventually get to that point in Numbers to where they have the chance to let God give them the victory and they won't believe Him. Hope we never make that mistake.